This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On this week's episode, we'll take a look back at Game Week 13's results and key performers, and I'll give you my start and flop of the week. Before turning our attention to the upcoming Game Week 14, we'll run through the fixture list and we'll look at some in-form players with good fixtures to potentially transfer in. We'll also talk captaincy, differentials, and as always, we'll finish off with my likely team ahead of Game Week 14. So, let's get into it. Right then, let's take a look back briefly at Game Week 13, which all started with Manchester City against Liverpool. A 1-1 draw. City took the lead through Erling Haaland. Who else? Ake getting the assist. And then they came out in the second half, perhaps a little too casual, allowed Liverpool back into the game, and Trent Alexander-Arnold got the equalising goal and an assist from Mo Salah. We also saw Alisson go down late on, clutching his hamstring, and that has been confirmed to be an injury that will rule him out for at least a couple of weeks, and we'll touch on that a little later in the episode. Burnley 1, West Ham 2. Burnley's goal coming from Jay Rodriguez. West Ham's two goals came from Adara O'Shea's own goal and Thomas Suchek getting on the score sheet. He actually got the eventual winner. Two assists from Kudus for West Ham, continuing to look like quite a promising West Ham option for us FPL managers. Luton 2, Crystal Palace 1. First victory in the Premier League at Kenilworth Road for Luton. Their goals coming from Mengi and Brown. Elise getting Crystal Palace's consolation goal. Disappointing day at the office for Eze, who unfortunately went off injured, playing just 48 minutes of football and only delivering a single point FPL return. Newcastle 4, Chelsea 1. And Chelsea's stop-start form continues. Their only goal coming from Sterling, but conceding 4, not great. And it was a particularly bad day at the office for Thiago Silva. A couple of big errors from the experienced Brazilian centre-back cost his team dearly. Newcastle pouncing on every opportunity. 4 goals and 4 separate goal scorers. Anthony Gordon, Isak, Joe Linton and Lascelles all on the score sheet. Particularly fortuitous for those managers like myself who went for Lascelles purely based on the fact that he was a cheap way into that Newcastle defence if you couldn't afford Trippier, and knowing full well he was going to be playing in place of Botman while he nurses his way back to full fitness. 3 assists for Newcastle coming from Almiron, Gordon and the youngster Miley. Nottingham Forest 2, Brighton 3. Goals for Nottingham Forest coming from Anthony Elanga and a Morgan Gibbs-White penalty. Assists from Callum Hudson-Odoi and Morgan Gibbs-White. 3 goals for Brighton, 2 for João Pedro and 1 for Evan Ferguson. 2 assists for Pascal Gross. And there were cards aplenty in this game. Lewis Dunk receiving a straight red card for dissent, so he will miss the next game week through suspension. Sheffield United 1, Bournemouth 3. And Iraola's Bournemouth side continuing that positive improvement in their form. Ollie McBurnie got the consolation for Sheffield United, Baldock getting the assist, but it was 2 goals for Tavernier and 1 for Justin Kluivert that gained Bournemouth all 3 points. Assists coming from Adam Smith and Antoine Semenya. Brentford 0, Arsenal 1. Brentford looking so close to gaining a hard-earned point before conceding late on, Kai Havertz finishing from close range, the assist coming from Bukayo Saka. Clean sheet points for those that have doubled up on that Arsenal defence recently. A lot of people who had Gabriel looking to bring in Saliba as well, so they would have benefited from this result as well. And anyone who brought Brian Mbeumo in perhaps a week earlier than they were originally planning to will have been slightly frustrated that he blanked as well. Spurs 1, Aston Villa 2. potentially game of the week, a really entertaining fixture. Spurs coming out of the blocks absolutely flying and perhaps should have been 4 or 5 up by half time. They did eventually get the breakthrough in that first half through a Lo Celso goal and a Pedro Porro assist. But their lack of clinical finishing proved to be decisive. Pau Torres getting an equaliser just before half-time and Ollie Watkins getting the winner in the second half. Douglas Luiz and Yuri Tielemans with assists. Heung-min Son, incredibly unfortunate not to get any return from this fixture. He actually had 3 goals disallowed through offside or VAR decisions. So incredibly unlucky for any managers who owned Son there. Everton 0, Manchester United 3. Many people expecting Everton to put up a pretty good fight, potentially even win this fixture, especially with the siege mentality that we all expected to see at Goodison Park following their 10-point deduction from the Premier League. However, Manchester United did exactly what was required with an early goal, and what a goal it was. Garnacho with probably goal of the season, an incredible overhead kick. And then 2 goals later on follow to seal the deal for Manchester United. Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford both scoring. Interesting to see Marcus Rashford taking a penalty that was given to him by Bruno Fernandes. So that'll be interesting to see if Bruno stays on penalties going forward or if Rashford has now become the primary penalty taker. We'll have to wait and see. Assists in this game for Bruno Fernandes, Dalot and Martial. And finally, rounding off game week 13, we had Fulham 3, Wolves 2 in a mad game on Monday Night Football. 2 goals for Willian proved the difference in the end for Fulham. Alex Iwobi also getting on the score sheet for the Cottagers. 3 assists, 1 for Kearney, 1 for Robinson and 1 for Wilson. Wolves goals coming from Cunha and Hwang Hee-chan. Bellegarde getting 1 assist. So there you have it. That's game week 13 done. I'll just give you my star and flop of the week. Star of the week, there weren't too many standout options this game week. So I'm going to give it to the highest point scorer for game week 13. And that honour goes to Marcus Tavernier of Bournemouth. The midfielder getting on the score sheet twice, helping to continue Bournemouth's impressive run of form lately with 3 wins in the last 4, only losing to Manchester City. And his 16-point return puts him at the top of the list this week. Flop of the week, and there is absolutely one standout candidate, and it's got to go to Reece James. 4 goals conceded and a red card, meaning he'll be suspended, seemingly trying to find new ways now of being unavailable for selection for FPL managers, even when he's not injured. But those stats for game week 13 helped him to a -3-point return. Absolutely disastrous for anyone who was starting to think that Chelsea were turning a corner, might like to get a premium defender into their teams, but that proved far from a shrewd move for anyone who decided to go there. Reece James gets flop of the week. Okay, time for a quick preview of game week 14. The deadline for this game week is Saturday, the 2nd of December at 1:30 p.m. UK time. That is 90 minutes before the first set of fixtures for game week 14, the 3 o'clock games. I'll run through all the fixtures for 14 now. Arsenal at home to Wolves, Brentford take on Luton, Burnley versus Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest versus Everton, and Newcastle versus Manchester United. Then on Sunday, we've got Bournemouth versus Aston Villa, Chelsea take on Brighton, Liverpool host Fulham, West Ham take on Palace, and finally, we've got Manchester City at home to Tottenham. So quite a few interesting standout fixtures for FPL managers to really spend some time thinking about. Arsenal at home to Wolves means that owners of Saka will be hopeful of some FPL returns there. Arsenal also have Jesus back up front, which will be great for anyone who's looking for a slight differential up front. But it'll also be good for anyone who's gone with Martinelli. Statistically, as I've said before, Martinelli a better FPL asset when Jesus is playing on the pitch. Another game that's worth looking out for is Brentford, who are at home to Luton. On paper, this is technically the best fixture of the season, alongside any home fixtures against Burnley or Sheffield United. Brian Mbeumo, the main man for Brentford, he'll be leading the line. Many FPL managers looking to get him in this game week. Not just because of that Luton defence that they face this week, but the fixtures afterwards look fantastic. Newcastle are at home to Manchester United, and whilst Manchester United have been actually getting some results and keeping some clean sheets, Newcastle do look very good going forward. Lots of goals, lots of chances being created, and with Isak up front, with Wilson out, we know exactly who is leading the line for them. Aston Villa are away at Bournemouth. Villa are very much the form side of the Premier League at the moment. They're away at Bournemouth, which is not as easy as many will think. But Villa do have the attacking FPL assets that many of us have been reaping the benefits from over the coming weeks. And as those kind fixtures start to slow up, this could be the last chance that we see Watkins and co. reap the benefits. After this game against Bournemouth, they face games against City and Arsenal. I'm fully expecting quite a few owners of Watkins to be selling him after game week 14. He is actually a slight injury concern for this fixture. Emery has said that he's not completely unavailable for Sunday. It depends if we can take a risk with him. At the moment, it's 50-50. So there is a chance that Watkins doesn't even face Bournemouth this week. So a potential sell there. We might get some injury news about him just before the deadline. So if you are prepared to hold on for one more evening and then just do it right at the very end, you might get some late information on whether Watkins is going to be starting or not just ahead of the deadline. Chelsea are at home to Brighton, and this is definitely a fixture for attacking assets in FPL. I don't have a lot of faith in either defence at the moment, but I think for those reasons, there's great opportunities for points to be scored here. The likes of João Pedro and Evan Ferguson, who are both on the score sheet last game week, and of course the likes of Sterling and Cole Palmer. We do have to take into consideration that Nkunku, the almost forgotten about Chelsea striker, new signing at the start of the season, injured in pre-season, he is now back in training for Pochettino's side. And that could mean, if he is to return, a reduction in minutes, potentially for the likes of Cole Palmer, possibly Sterling, maybe Nicholas Jackson. So we will have to wait and see how that team line up once Nkunku is back fully fit. Of course, Liverpool at home to Fulham feels like a great game on paper for FPL managers. Salah owners will be very tempted to captain him. It's also good news for anyone considering bringing in a Liverpool attacking asset this week. The likes of Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez are going to get decent numbers of minutes, especially with Diogo Jota out of action. And finally, it's also just worth mentioning a big game towards the end of Sunday. Manchester City at home to Spurs. Does feel like Erling Haaland could absolutely feast against a Spurs defence made up of potentially four fullbacks. That's what they lined up with against Aston Villa. And to be honest, the likes of Ben Davis and Emerson Royale were sitting ducks from set pieces. So the big Norwegian could exploit that defence. Could be a huge return for him. Son, of course, does have a really good record against Manchester City. And whilst he has blanked in the last three, and I'm sure many FPL managers are starting to get a little frustrated, given that he is quite an expensive asset, but the reality is Spurs are still creating a lot of chances. Even though they lost to Aston Villa, Son scored three goals that were actually ruled out. And Spurs actually posted their highest XG of the entire season. So they're still creating chances despite losing key players and key creative players like Maddison. Son is still getting lots of chances. So if you want to stick by him, there is every chance that he can get at that Manchester City defence. And it does feel like Son has always been one of those streaky players. And if you've stuck with him this long, it feels like he could end up getting a couple of returns and the goals could well start to flow again. Right, in terms of transfers in, let's look at some key players with good fixtures coming up. And first off, Brian Bermo. If you don't already have him in your team, many, like me, went for Eze for that 1 week punt against Luton. That did not pay off, and I'm almost certainly going to be bringing in Bermo now. Great run of fixtures for Brentford. Their next six are Luton, Brighton, Sheffield United, Villa, then a blank, which is obviously not ideal, and then Wolves. So a great run of fixtures. There is one blank in there, and that is something to consider if you do have players from Brentford in your team, as well as Manchester City, who also blank in that same game week. But Bermo does have great fixtures coming up. He is the most transferred in FPL asset this week, unsurprisingly, with that fixture run. Next up, again, another one if you don't already have him in your team, as he is, of course, very popular, Bukayo Saka. Wolves this week, followed by Luton, Villa, Brighton, Liverpool and West Ham. So a pretty decent run there for Arsenal attackers. As I said before, Jesus is back, so that does also give us options elsewhere in the Arsenal attack. The likes of Jesus and Martinelli do come into play a lot more. There is, of course, an increased risk of rotation with the likes of Trossard and Nketiah ready to come into that side as well. It's also worth mentioning regarding the Arsenal defence, as there are quite a few FPL managers who have been considering doubling up with both Gabriel and Saliba. And whilst they do have pretty good fixtures the next two, Wolves and Luton, perhaps not known for being the highest of scoring teams, from game week 16 onwards, Arsenal face teams that are definitely beatable, but also do tend to score. Villa, Brighton, Liverpool and West Ham, all with plenty of goal scorers in their sides. So perhaps not worth the extra money to double up on that Arsenal defence. If you're looking to invest in defenders at the moment, clean sheets are not particularly common, so look for defenders that give you attacking return potential. We've already touched briefly on Mo Salah with his fantastic fixture this week against Fulham. Definitely potential captaincy material there. But also, there's some great options elsewhere in the Liverpool attack. Both Darwin Nunez and Luis Diaz look set to start this week. And with Diogo Jota confirmed to be out for a number of weeks, it feels like a good opportunity for these attacking players to get a good run of games. And that can also coincide with a fantastic run of fixtures for Liverpool. They face Fulham, then Sheffield United, then Crystal Palace, then a couple of tricky games against Manchester United and Arsenal, although both at home. So you would back Liverpool to at least score in those games. And then they face Burnley, Newcastle and Bournemouth. So a really decent run there for attacking return potential at Liverpool. Also worth mentioning here, Alisson, as I said before, went down injured late in the game against Manchester City, clutching that hamstring. So far, Klopp has confirmed that he is injured and will miss the next 2 weeks. It could be potentially a little longer. Now, Kelleher is the 3.9 million keeper to come into his position. If you have a spare transfer, this is potentially worth doing, but only if you don't have other issues to address in your team. If you've got everything else in hand and you've got a spare transfer, then by all means, get Kelleher in. He's a nice, cheap goalkeeper that has a great opportunity to get a couple of clean sheets, especially when there are quite a few keepers out there that are not delivering at the moment. If you've got a Turner or an Areola at the moment, they're pretty underwhelming. Turner's actually lost his place, so this feels like a good opportunity to perhaps save a little bit of money, although bear in mind that is another Liverpool spot in your team used up. So if you've got Kelleher and Salah, then you can only get perhaps one more if you fancy the Liverpool triple up with those fixtures coming up. So only one of Diaz or Darwin Nunez. You wouldn't be able to get both of those, and you wouldn't be able to look at someone like a Trent as well. So that is worth considering. Right then, let's take a brief look now at differentials. I'm going to give you three, as always, to consider for this game week and beyond. And first up, we've got John Stones at Manchester City. 2.9% owned. He's 5.3 million. He was out injured. We expected him to be out for much longer than he actually is. He's back, fit, earlier than expected, And he was on the bench last time out for City, but he is crucial to Pep's side in terms of build up from that deep midfield position that he takes up. He also helps protect the defence, which has been perhaps not as strong as we would have expected it to be. Now, City's next two fixtures are against Spurs and Villa, so that doesn't instill a lot of confidence in clean sheet potential. But after that, City have Luton, Palace, a blank, and then Everton and Sheffield United. So one blank, but also some great games there for a defender to potentially get clean sheets and also attacking returns as well. Next up, we've got Gabriel Jesus. I've mentioned him a few times. He's back in that starting 11, as we'd expect for Arsenal. He's 2.5% owned, 7.8 million, perhaps as an alternative to Watkins, especially if we hear that he's injured. Lots of people looking at the likes of Darwin Nunez or Alexander Isak to partner Haaland up front. Jesus, instead, though, could be a great alternative. Arsenal's next few fixtures are Wolves, Luton, Villa, Brighton, Liverpool and West Ham. Lots of teams in there that struggle to keep clean sheets. So Gabriel Jesus, I think, is a really good attacking differential. And my final differential that I'm putting forward this week is Nottingham Forest midfielder Elanga. 1.2% owned, just 5 million. He's got two goals in his last two games. And Forest's next three fixtures, Everton, Fulham, Wolves. So I think a really great alternative to the cheap midfielders that we have at the moment, the likes of Cole Palmer and Anthony Gordon. Perhaps we could look instead at Elanga over those next three in particular. Okay, let's briefly talk captaincy. To be perfectly honest, it feels like the same debate every week, Haaland versus Salah. It is pretty tricky to call, though, this week. You've got Salah at home against Fulham, which feels like an unbelievable fixture, a really good captaincy choice there if that's where you want to go. Me, at the moment, I'm leaning towards Haaland. Haaland at home against Spurs, and while Spurs have been pretty, and while Spurs do look good going forward defensively since that Chelsea game where everything seemed to go wrong for them, they have looked pretty frail defensively. Haaland could be facing up against four fullbacks lining up across Spurs' back four, and that to me spells trouble for Tottenham. I do think Haaland could well end up getting quite the haul this weekend, so I think I will go with Haaland, but absolutely no problem with anyone going for Salah as their captain this week. If you want to go for a differential, there is, of course, Mbeumo, who faces Luton. An absolutely fine captaincy pick as well, but with the majority of people looking at Haaland and Salah with two really good fixtures against defences that look pretty suspect, most will go for the two favourites. Me, I'm leaning towards Haaland at the moment. Right then, let's finish off then, as we always do, with my likely team ahead of the game week deadline. At the moment, I'm going with Areola in goal, who's at home against Crystal Palace, a back three of Tsimikas at home against Fulham, Lascelles at home against Manchester United, and Gabriel at home against Wolves. Always nice to have three defenders at home. On the bench, I do have Pau Torres, who's away at Bournemouth. I do think, though, that at home, Dominic Solanke could be on the score sheet, so I've dropped Pau to the bench. Lascelles gets the nod despite a tricky fixture against Manchester United, but I think Newcastle are capable of keeping a clean sheet at home. My midfield five is Mo Salah at home against Fulham, Son away at City, Cole Palmer at home to Brighton, Saka at home to Wolves, and I'm bringing in Brian Bermo at home against Luton. He comes in for Eze. Up front, a front two of Erling Haaland and Ollie Watkins. Haaland's got the armband at the moment. There is a flag for a potential injury on Watkins. I will wait until the last second to see if I use my second free transfer to replace Ollie Watkins. If he's injured, I'd probably look at someone like an Isak or a Darwin Nunez, possibly Nunez given that he is at home against Fulham. But if Watkins is fit, I'll keep him, I'll roll the transfer, and I'll keep my two free transfers for next week. The bench at the moment, Turner, Archer, Pau Torres, and Taylor. So there you have it, the preview for game week 14. The deadline, once again, Saturday the 2nd of December, 1:30 p.m. UK time. Good luck to everyone chasing green arrows this week. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at AndyJAudio or at OneStopFPL. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again next week.